level of destruction of lives, of livelihood, of infrastructure. Yet, if it doesn't, if we don't end it for good, you know, it will see repeats. So it's really, I just want to tell the students, you are making history. You are leading history. You are not just, you know, it's not just response. And through this, you will start to open up the possibilities for, you know, a new era of justice in Palestine. And we are, you know, we are behind you. We support you. And we will be backing you and following you.
Thank you so much, Norma Orantisi, for being with us. This is CKUT 90.3 FM on the dial. Please stay with us.
Good evening. It's just after 6 o'clock on Thursday, May the 9th. You're listening to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM and at CKUT.ca, the show about theater on the radio, from drama to musicals to burlesque to comedy and everything in between. Professional, student, and community productions in and around Montreal, the island also known as Jojage in the Ganyagaha language and Munayang in Anishinaabemowin, where we spell theater with an R-E at the end. I'm your host, Sarah Day, live in studio on this kind of rainy Thursday night, but looks like the rain's clearing out. We have a beautiful weekend ahead of us, so a wonderful time to get out and check out Sketchfest, the end of Thy Woman's Weeds at the Centaur, and to join me at the Seagull on Sunday morning, where we will be previewing POTUS. Speaking of POTUS, yeah, POTUS is an acronym or initialism that stands for President of the United States. The Seagull Center is bringing to close out its season a portrait of a man, but told through the seven women around him. It's a swear-heavy show with seven very strong actresses, and we will speak with the famous comedian and performer Elvira Kurt, who plays the interesting sister of the president in question, and we'll find out more about the structure of that show with Elvira in just a moment. She just got out of rehearsal. We'll get her on the phone in just a second. And then we will take you to near Jean Talon Metro Station to a venue called Espace L'Elysée. I'm just learning about this space now. Turkish-Canadian playwright Denise Bazar has written the play Wine and Halva. It poses the question, how can friends do justice to each other when they have almost nothing in common? We have someone from North America who's traveled to Istanbul and a woman from Northern Africa who's trying to continue her education in a totally new space. And the conversations they have build the bulk of the play. We'll speak with Denise in a couple of minutes. And then a quick visit to our friends at Black Theatre Workshop. They are bringing back their annual fundraiser and chance to shout out the community for the first time since 2020. You know, BTW is one of the oldest theater companies in Montreal and the oldest Black-focused company in Canada. So this is the 30th time they've been doing this. Diane Marie Bridge is the artistic director. I actually met her for the first time earlier this week. I'll tell you about that. But she'll tell us about the people they will be saluting and honoring this weekend at the Phi Center for their Vision Gala. And finally, before the end of the show, we'll continue looking at Festival Accès Asie, which has all different kinds of genres and activities under its banner, including dance and theater. The choreographer and performer Hora Malas, who grew up in Syria or was born there, now based here, will tell Xander about her piece, If My Body Had a Name, how a dancer finds themselves on stage. All that and more coming up tonight before 7 o'clock. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM. Thank you so much to Lenny Kravitz for getting us warmed up there. I just really love this music video and the song. It's got so much energy, and I think it's the kind of energy I'm anticipating at the opening of POTUS. The full title of this play, POTUS, or Behind Every Great Dumb Person, are seven women trying to keep him alive. The Washington Post has described this particular play as the next best thing to Veep. It is a show about a PR nightmare. At the center, of course, we're at the White House. We have the president, who we never get to meet. And an interesting parallel, you know, this show is going to be opening at the Siegel a week from tonight. Preview starts Sunday. And, you know, the Centaur is wrapping up this weekend, Thy Woman's Weeds, which has seven performers on stage exploring the female side of Shakespeare. And they're angry at Shakespeare, and they love Shakespeare. There's a lot of emotions. And I see, as an outside person, a parallel to seeing seven people on stage, seven women supporting one guy who is takes up so much energy, but yet we never see him. We all talk around him. One of the performers is going, all playing different roles in relation to the POTUS, President of the United States. One of those performers is the eminently qualified, very talented performer, comedian, game show host, talk show host, Elvira Kurt, who is in town, just got off rehearsal. She'll be playing the role of Bernadette, who is the troubled sister of said president. And she joins me on the line. Welcome to Upstage. Okay, we're going to check to make sure the phones are working. Can you hear me, Elvira? All right. We might have a problem here.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, got you now. Hi there. Thank you so much for being here.
Hi.
Hi. Sorry, we had a different configuration on the board a couple minutes ago, and I'm kind of repressing all the buttons. You're a pro, so I know you've probably been through things like this before.
For sure.
It's my honor
But that's too bad, because such a smooth intro and segue, that was amazing. You covered everything.
Yeah. Well,
right? You gave props to a whole other show with seven women. That was amazing. That was fantastic. I was like, I want to see all the theater in Montreal now.
Yeah, well, I was going to ask you, is this your first time performing live in theater? Because I know you've had a long career, so I'm not sure. I can't cover every single play you've done, but first time performing in Montreal in a theater capacity?
You really can't cover everything that I've done. However, you can easily say this is the only second time that I've been on stage in a theatrical production. The first time as a cast member, because I did the Vagina Monologues, which, you know, you're on stage with a group of women, but you're each performing different monologues. This is a full-on farce. It's a, you know, it's a breakneck speed, you know, well-oiled machine. Everybody's working in sync. I've never done anything like this. And I'm not going to lie, I'm exhausted.
Yeah, how long are your days? Because you were just a couple days away from the first preview. Opening is 1 week from tonight. So how many hours is that a day?
Well, you know, you start sort of, so this whole theater world is new to me. Even rehearsing is new to me. I'm a stand-up comic. You know what I mean? We rise for 1 hour, and then we slither back into the underworld. This is like you're up at the crack of dawn, and you're learning lines, and then you're interacting and putting it all together, layering all kinds of other stuff. Then there's a whole tech aspect. There's staging. There's lighting. And this is a farce. The stage revolves. It's bananas. So, yeah, our days, we've just come off a week of 10 to 10, so 12-hour days, and they're called 10 to 10. But now I'm using the lingo. But
yeah.
Look at me. I'm a thespian. I'm a lesbian and a thespian.
Yeah, thespian, lesbian. But, you know, comics, a lot of your work as a comic is kind of invisible to us audiences, because you are writing, you're promoting yourself.
It's true. You're not wrong.
People kind of joke about, like, I did an hour of work today, but at the same time, you are still working. We just don't see it. But here, you're with six other people on stage, and you mentioned, the tech, the whole team. That must be different for you?
It is. It's very different. And just sharing the stage is just such a new experience. And so, you know, you don't have to carry everything by yourself, but then that's the upside. And then the downside is you cannot let anyone down. So there's no rest. Like, you have to be on your game, because everyone depends on everyone else, especially in a farce, which is quite musical. Like, it has a tempo, and you've got to put the needle in the groove, and then you got to make sure you're all playing the same track. It is unlike unlike anything I've ever done. And I thought I could do this. I really did think that, oh, I can do comedy, so I should be able to at least do a farce. And it is still the trickiest. Like, I haven't cracked this nut yet.
Okay, but can I just tell you something? You are, in fact, doing it. You're doing it.
I am doing it.
Yeah.
I am doing it. Yeah. Oh, my God. This isn't just a radio interview. This is like a therapy session. Thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. You're so welcome.
I can do this.
We're speaking to the very talented Elvira Kurt, who is joining us ahead of her theatrical debut in Montreal. And so how did you decide to, like, did someone approach you and say, hey, we'd love to see you in this play? Yeah. Or did you?
They did. I was approached, but I had to audition. But I would not have thought to audition. But when I was approached by the Siegel Center, would you consider auditioning? I was like, I'll consider doing anything. Like, I love a challenge, especially something that I've never done before. Just the sheer fear of that is thrilling for me. That's my personality type, right? Like, oh, there's a canyon that I haven't flung myself over. Let's see what that feels like. So I definitely wanted to try, and then I was lucky enough to be chosen. So then that's the reality of, like, oh crap, what did I get myself into? But it's been amazing. It's been amazing, and I get to be in Montreal. So at least this is amazing. I'm with these incredible actors who are actors. And then I get to be in this city that just feels like a creative hub. You know, I'm iffy on the weather, but what are you going to do?
Well, it looks like it's going to be really great this week, and especially for first preview on Sunday. Now, I wanted to delve into
You know that that means nothing. It could snow first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
And I'm also doing the bike thing. Like, I'm riding my bike all the time. And so I just have to dress for 8 different kinds of weather when I leave the house.
As a cyclist, I see you, I feel you, I salute you. Because I've also had to wear about 10 different outfits myself to get through this particular week, and weather has been extraordinary.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I know, it's great.
So when you're on stage...
Sorry, I interrupted you.
I just wanted to know about Bernadette, your character. So we've got the president at the center, but we never see him. Bit of a Waiting for Godot vibe. We've got the mistress, the first lady, secretary, PR specialist, a journalist, chief of staff, press secretary, and then there's Elvira playing Bernadette. Tell me about your role.
She's like the chaos. Just an agent of chaos. I just come in when the day is starting to go off the rails. Like, you know, as you can imagine, the White House would be a place of a lot of intensity. And then into a day that starts with its regular intensity, it just gets, you can just feel the turn of the crank, right? The gears. It just keeps ratcheting to the top of the drop of that roller coaster, and then I come in and I just sort of, you know, if the train was wobbly, I just walk in as the sister and I just kick it right off the tracks, and then it spirals from there in the best possible way, and it's everyone is on their own separate journey, and it's just amazing. And at every opportunity, the character of Bernadette takes a stick and just jams it into the gears or the spokes or the whatever is has a place to sort of interrupt whatever recovery could happen. I just make sure that that doesn't happen until the very end. It's amazing. It's a very fun character to play.
And you like being the agent of chaos?
I am. I'm not going to lie. It doesn't. It's not a stretch for me. It's not a stretch for me. But I'm seldom this deliberate.
I'm speaking with Elvira Kurt, who is playing the role of Bernadette. Now, I guess the gambit being like this idea that there's always a man in charge, and then there's a great woman behind him. But as we know, when it comes to, you know, high profile people, they've got tons of people making them look good and taking care of the laundry and writing speaking points for them. And I'm curious to know, like, does that concept ring true to you? Like, do you find this like a very relatable kind of concept? Is this stuff that you're talking about with the cast?
That's what I was going to say, you know, based on even how you were describing it. Like, it is a very, there's something about the specificity in this play of the location and the people involved. However, anyone who comes to see this, and particularly women, this is will be an amazing opportunity to just sort of gas off about your own experience. It is the universal experience, just the amount of labor, mostly unseen, or emotional labor, all the stuff that is either minimized or seen as unimportant or secondary. This is it is what befalls all of us who are socialized as women. And so you, even though it's, like I said, this very specific situation, you'll be sitting there and you'll be like, oh my God, mm-hmm. you'll just enjoy seeing someone else in in this predicament that is very familiar. And just the act of seeing that, it puts some air in it. It takes the pressure off of the reality, and just you get to experience it in a very surreal sort of like adjacent to your lifestyle. It's very safe. It's a very safe way to just kind of get some relief from the experience that most women have day in, day out, just looking after the lives of their families or, you know, the people who are important to them. In any situation, this is the job that befalls women.
You think
Is
this going to be a big conversation starter for people? They'll be walking away and kind of saying, like, did you relate to that moment? How did you feel about that moment?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, what I love is that this play is filled with so many moments. And I should say, like, it is it's unabashedly raunchy. I mean, we go to some very unexpected places. I can't imagine what the conversations are going to be, but is it a starter? It's the start of the conversation. It's the middle of the conversation. It's the end of the conversation. And in between it all is just lots of laughter.
I cannot wait to laugh.
That laughter is another way to release the pressure of our day-to-day, right? What doesn't feel funny every day when you see it sort of highlighted and then stretched to these extreme proportions, gives it some levity, right? It offers this release of this tension. It's fantastic. Yeah, it's fun. It's a well-written play, and hopefully we will all do it justice. I know the cast that I'm working with is definitely keeping me on my toes. They're amazing. I cannot believe the kind of work that true actors do.
Well, Elvira,
I'm just a comedian visiting from comedy, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They've been very generous to me and very patient.
Well, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of comedy fans or people that have followed you through the years who are going to be really excited to see you in a different capacity.
Yeah, right on. Sure. Yeah, that'd be super fun.
I've had such a blast talking with you. Thank you so much for making time for us. Oh. And please get cast in something else real soon so we can have you back on the show and chat, okay? And you can bike around Montreal taking in
for
the vibes.
I would love that. The next thing I'll do, maybe I'll just enter one of these Shakespeare plays that the other women are doing and just come on in my Bernadette character and see where it goes.
We have a lot of those, Elvira. All right, we'll see you at the Seagull. Thank you so much.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
That was the very talented Elvira Kurt, who is a comic and a TV show host and now is branching out into being a thespian lesbian, her words. And that was a really fun chat. She'll be at the Siegel Center as part of POTUS, or Behind Every Great Man, Every Great Dumb A, or Seven Women Trying to Keep Him Alive. Preview is Sunday afternoon, opening a 1 week from tonight until June 2nd, siegelcenter.org or 514-739-7944. I'm super excited for this show, and you can join me for a conversation about women in power at Sunday at the Seagull, 11 o'clock this Sunday. There's free coffee and Rugeloff before the show. We have a great conversation. The Seagull Center's board of directors are going to be joining me, the women on the team, to talk about being a woman in leadership roles. It's going to be interesting. You're listening to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM. We are a little behind, but we will work now to get the playwright Denise Bassar on the phone to talk about Wine and Halva. And coming up after that, Black Theater Workshops, Diane Maria Bridge will stop by, and Xander is gearing up to speak with the dancer Hora Malat as part of Festival XZ. You're listening to Upstage on CKUT. No beginnings. No beginnings. It's just a new beginning. No beginnings. It's just a new beginning. Welcome back to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Sarah Day. I'm your host this evening. As always, Thursdays from 6 to 7, taking a look at theater in Montreal. We were just hearing before this, I Love Amayachi by Mathé, but we were just listening to Dominique Fille-Aimé, who is a wonderful performer who will be honored at the Fye Center this weekend as part of BTW's Vision Gala. And we will speak about that event in a couple of minutes. But first, I wanted to take you to a new space. I've never heard of this place before. L'Espace de la Risée. It is near Jean Talon Metro, and it is currently playing host to a show that really got me at the first tagline, which is, how can friends do justice to each other when they have almost nothing in common? You're going to pull up a chair, find yourself in a cafe in Istanbul over some wine and halva. That is the name of the show, written by Denise Bashar, who is the playwright and joins me just before opening tonight. Hello, Denise. Welcome to Upstage.
Hello, thank you for inviting me.
You're a Canadian-Turkish writer, making your home in Montreal now, I believe. And this play is a couple of years old. Tell me about what you were thinking when you started writing this this tale of two unlikely friends.
I am actually currently living in Istanbul. I finished my PhD in Concordia University in Montreal, and I defended my thesis in the January of 2021. And I actually immigrated to Canada in my adult age, too. Like, I was 24 years old when I came, and I lived in Toronto for 4 years, and then I moved to Montreal and lived in Montreal for 2.5 years. And this play is actually about, it's like semi-autobiographical, but I don't want, like, okay, this is a bit of a loaded term, because, like, when you use autobiographical in Canadian art world, I feel like it might not ring well. Like, there's a lot of fiction in this and a lot of imaginative interventions to what actually happened. So, because I'm not that interested in just telling what actually happened. What actually happened was pretty horrible. Like, I had a very bad experience in the university that I was enrolled in Toronto, and I needed to quit that education and continue from where I left it in Concordia, which was a great chance given to me, not by the institution, but actually by one human being, supervisor, Mark Sussman. He's a great professor. And the play actually looks into that dark time in my life and how, like, a particular friendship sustained so many things and became so many things for me. But also, it's more about, like, what it means to be friends when the world is not going to do justice to any of you, and it's going to put a lot of pressure on your relationships. What happens then? How can you sustain a relationship?
I'm speaking with the playwright Denise Bashar, who is telling us about the play Wine and Halva. It is on now at L'Espace de la Risée. So you obviously took something out of your own life and adapted it a little bit. What were some of the changes that you felt you had to make to make it really work as a play, as opposed to being a straight kind of a memoir, let's say?
Like, the first thing is the structure. So there are two characters in the play, but three performers. And in every scene, they rotate. And so, like, each performer ends up playing both of the characters plus one of the narrators. And the narrator is the person who is constantly commenting on the action in the play. and it was also, like, it was basically to question the idea of this, like, Western theater, that every character has an interiority that's untouched by the outside world. I do not believe that. It's a very Brechtian concept in the Western world, but also in, like, the Ottoman theater tradition. There's a lot about, like, one performer getting in and out of a lot of characters and constantly underlining the meta-theatricality of the space and audience interaction. So I come from that contemporary tradition in Turkey. I have seen a lot of good plays, and that came in. But it was also used ideologically to question relationship between space and identity. So those were obviously like the fictional layers that were built into the narrative to show what's happening in this dynamic. And some of the interactions were a lot more cleaned out, obviously, because like I am more interested in giving the essence of that interaction more than documenting what right. exactly happened. So there were like, yeah, there were a lot of back and forth, and the person that I was writing this about, like, read this very many times too, and like gave his opinions, which were became part of the final product. A lot of my other friends and dramaturgs read it; they gave their opinions. I selected from them, of course, but you know, it has been a process to develop it.
I'm speaking with the playwright Denise Bashar, whose play is on now at L'Espace La Risée. What is it like for you? You wrote this play over the course of, I guess, just before the pandemic started, or right about when that began, and to see it being performed 4 years later in this space. How does that feel for you as the writer?
It feels amazing. I never thought it was going to be staged because I never felt that I was institutionally supported in Canada. And I actually, at the point that I decided not to continue living in Canada and return back to Turkey, I felt like everything I did was lost. You know, like my voice was not heard. And this was obviously like my distorted mindset at the time. It wasn't very real, but that was how I felt. You know, I felt like, okay, like I did all this labor. I made some like friends that are loyal and beautiful. Right. But other than these like few friends, I haven't been able to basically speak my mind to the public that I want to speak. And it would be impossible. That was the physical feeling I almost had. So after 4 years, coming back and seeing this in Canada, in Montreal, with like people who identify or do not identify with any of the characters or both of the characters, like it, in a very personal sense, it's actually healing me. But I'm also like really grateful to some of the responses that we are receiving, because there are a lot of first-generation immigrants who saw this play and who had like similar experiences, and they said they felt like their experience would never be represented on stage too. So I am very grateful for the response that I'm receiving at the moment.
Well, I'm really glad that you could take this time to tell us about that, how that feels. Are you getting enough confidence to get working on the next play, Denise?
Yes, I actually do. Finished another like play that I wrote collectively with two other friends, Autumn in New Stockholm, and if people come, they can buy the book in the venue. But after that, I actually started working on my poetry, so I'm not writing on a new play at the moment. But I have a lot of plays that I have written, and some of them are published, but this, interestingly, has been my very first play, which is produced. So it is giving me momentum to write more plays.
Well, congratulations. Thank you so much for coming by, stopping by to tell us about it. And how can we follow you if we want to keep up with your writing?
Thank you. Well, I am not on social media, but you can reach me through my email address, and I can give it to you from here. Denise Bashar, DENIZBASAR89 at email.com. If you email me and introduce yourself to me, I'll definitely share my work with you.
Denise, it's lovely to meet you. Thank you so much. Best of continued success.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
That is the voice of Denise Bashar, the playwright, telling us about Wine and Halva, her play, being presented now at L'Espace La Risée. It is near Jean Talon Metro, brownpapertickets.com to find the event. It's very simply titled Wine and Halva. So you can check that out. I believe it is sold out tonight and Friday, but there are events happening Saturday. There's a matinee and an evening show, and then a show on Sunday as well. You can also visit the venue, espacelarisée.com. That is Espace, L-A-R-I-S-E-E. KUTE.com. You're listening to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM. Before the end of the hour, Xander is going to meet the choreographer and performer Hormales, who is at will be dancing at L'Agora de la Danse next week as part of Festival Axéasy. But first, a quick check-in with Diane Marie Bridge over at Black Theatre Workshop. Stay tuned.
CKUT 90.3 FM is proud to present the Project XT Trio, featuring Kevane Wayne Space, better known as RP Boo, the legendary pioneer of Chicago footwork, DJing, Seymour Wright on saxophone, Paul Abbott on drums. Taking place Sunday, May 19th, 5 p.m., the 40th Festival International de Musique Actuelle de Victoria. For tickets and more details, visit fimav.qc.ca.
Welcome back to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM. You can also listen to us live at CKUT.ca. Earlier this week, I made my way to the Conseil des Arts de Montréal, beautiful building in front of La Fontaine Park, which played host to a mixed season launch. So seven different companies in Montreal talking about what's coming up, including Imago, Infinitheater, Talisman, Table d'Hôte Repercussion. I'm missing someone else, but one of the last one to present in a two-minute pitch to the audience, was one of our longest-running theater companies here in the city and the longest-running company in Canada devoted to the Black experience in Canada as well as in the diaspora as well. And what was really nice for me is that I actually got to meet the artistic director after a couple of chats on the phone, hired about a season and a half ago, embarking into the second season. It was just on Upstage a couple of weeks ago to talk about Open House, which she directed for Infinitheater, a show about real estate, an open house that goes awry. Joining us on the line is Diane Marie Bridge. Welcome to Upstage.
Oh, thank you so much, Sarah. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, it was really nice to get to meet you in person, and you are lovely. And I want to take a moment to acknowledge that Black Theatre Workshop is bringing back a really big plank from its kind of calendar every season, and that's your fundraiser and also a chance to honor people. It's called Vision.
Yes, we're so excited. We haven't had in-person Vision for the last 3 years, mainly because of the pandemic. And it really is an opportunity for the community to come together in a way that it goes beyond being at the plays. It's really a social event, social calendar event.
And it's a fun time as well because it's a cocktail. Yeah. There's going to be music as well. You can come for the after party or you can pay the full ticket price and see all of the awards and the celebrations that's going to be happening. Why is it important for you as an artist and as a community member to talk about what is Black excellence and what it is to kind of shout out people doing good work?
I think because we have to start looking at ourselves as seeing ourselves in the future and where we want to go and actually building inroads to that. So supporting youth and supporting younger artists coming along and honoring the people who came before is a way to really highlight the continuum of work. And the idea that the color of your skin does not have to be a deficit for your path in this life. It can actually be acknowledged and supported, and understand that you're not alone, and you're in a community of people working very hard and doing really good work. It also gives you a mirror to reflect on, because if your work or the passions that you have don't reflect the mainstream, it's not that you're not doing good work. It really just might mean that you're not in the right community. So we're trying to find community spots and ways to support art that really reflects our reality.
Two people in particular will be honored this weekend. One for community. I think it was, you were just talking about the people who came before and set us up for success. One of them mm-hmm. is Erin Anthony, who's going to be getting the Dr. Clarence Bain Community Impact Award. And this is someone who is very familiar to people in the community, I would imagine.
Yes, and because I'm still relatively new to Montreal, I actually have not met any of the honorees yet, but I've read a lot. And Erin Anthony is also somebody who's just very well rooted in not only the arts community here in Montreal, but also as an educator and through her work with the various church organizations as well.
And a retired teacher administrator, has worked with a really fabulous organization named called the West Island Black Community Association, which does a lot of outreach and a lot of community organizing. So she'll have be spotlit there. And we were playing some of this other recipient earlier on, Dominique Fils-Aimé,
yeah.
I think it's pronounced, a rising star in the Quebec scene.
Yes, a jazz vocalist and a rising star, has won and been shortlisted for the Polaris Prize a number of times, and does this this idea of jazz triptychs or triple albums. So she's going into her second set of a three album compilation. So we're really excited to honor her as well.
For you, Diane, as the artistic director at BTW, you're entering into your, we were talking about this earlier this week, it's your first and a half season. What does this mean for you to have this night where everyone's going to be having a good time, taking a moment to network and have a good time? What does that mean for you leading this community theater? It's not just a theater company, it's truly a community organization as well.
It really, well, that's the roots of the organization. It started in the community, and it really is a reflection of the fact that the arts really are rooted in the way we see ourselves. So for me, it's going to be a really great introduction to the broader community. I mean, people have seen the work we've done, and we've had a few opportunities for people to meet the staff and myself, but this is really a big splash for the community. I hope people come out and join us on the dance floor afterwards and really come to celebrate the community.
Diane, great to have you on. Thank you for giving us a preview of Vision 2024.
Thank you so much, Sarah. I look forward to it.
That is the Artistic Director at Black Theatre Workshop, Diane Marie Bridge. So this is going to be happening on Saturday night at 7 o'clock, Centre Phi. So that's on Saint-Pierre, Rue Saint-Pierre in Old Montreal. And they'll be honoring Dominique Fils-Aimé, who we're going to hear from a little bit there. A wonderful vocalist, has won two Junos already, I believe, as well as a community member, because these are the people that make our theatre companies or community organizations run, Erin Anthony. And two young people will be honored as well, Noah Boileau and Zippora McDonald. So congratulations to them as well. If you'd like your tickets or more information, head to blacktheaterworkshop.ca, where they've also launched the upcoming season for BTW. Have a look. There is a very interesting show about Kanye West coming up, and also some really great content as well. So I'm going to play a little bit of Dominique Fils-Aimé for you here as we get ready for our final interview of the soirée. We're going to speak with a dancer. Xander's here, ready to chat with her, and we'll be back in just a moment.
In sync with the plan, basking in the glow, no way. In the glow, no way. No way. No way. No way.
Association of Montreal and Indie Roots Records have come together to bring you Womban, an all-female artist showcase to bring ovarian cancer awareness to the community and to raise money for Ovarian Cancer Canada. On Friday, May 17th, 8 p.m. at the Jamaica Association of Montreal at 4065 Jean Talon West, Metro Namur. It's a free event, just donate. All funds going to Ovarian Cancer of Canada. For more info, 514-792-4775. This ad is sponsored by CKUT 90.3.
Is coming from the trailer for Wormalas's new show, If My Body Had a Name, which is going to be performed next week, May 15th and the 16th at L'Agora de la Danse. It is part of the Festival Accès Asie, which is running through the whole month. Of course, May is Asian Heritage Month, so there's a whole very big expansive calendar of things that you can check out there. And Xander is getting ready to interview this particular artist. Hello, Xander. How are you?
I am fantastic.
Great.
For once, traffic didn't ruin my life today.
Yeah, you're here on time. You're relaxed. Everything's good. I'm really excited to hear your conversation.
Oh, so am I. So I'm going to set up a little bit of a scene here. A dark room, a cold light, a single woman. A question asked, who are we if not a reflection of our surroundings, our upbringing? What dictates our place? Does our movements define the space taken, or is it simply dictated from what came before? Wormalas stands alone on the stage in her show, If a Body Had a Name, a show presented for the Festival Accès Asie. She joins me today. Welcome.
Hi, Xander. How are you?
I am great. Wonderful weather here in Montreal. It's a great contrast compared to this weekend, which was less than desirable. How about you?
Yes. Yeah, I'm great. I'm doing great. Thank you so much.
Well, I'm really happy to have you here. And I'm
Thank
really
you
happy
so much for
to
having
just
me.
Bothering you with a lot of these really strange creative questions, one of which is that I'm always kind of interested in learning about an artist's process, you know,
Perfect.
Where we draw from and where we'd like to go with our ideas. Where were some of the thoughts that led you? Where did these thoughts come from that led you to this specific creative art piece?
Well, initially, I would say it was during COVID when I was listening to an interview by an educator, an English educator called Sir Ken Robinson. And he was talking about the importance of dance in schools. And then he said, like most people, treat their bodies as a vehicle to transport their brains from one place to another or from one meeting to another. And I was like, oh wow. I just like the bulb was lit at that moment. And well, initially, because my interests are in people and in the intersection between what's private and what's public, what's universal and what's personal. And so with this thought, I was like, oh my God, this is such a crazy thing. And this is where I started, basically. And then I went and kind of did the research into the what is called the body-mind problem. And this is where this whole thing started.
So what can you tell us about the body-mind problem? That sounds rather foreboding.
Well, it's through times of psychology and analysis, they went through so many phases of trying to understand what this relationship is. So basically, there are so many hypotheses that says, how is this kind of game power is played within the body? Is it like the brain who's in charge? Is it the body who's in charge? So there are so many theories that talk about this and says, well, they both have parallel power over decisions, and someone says no, it's the brain that has, and then someone will say no, it's the body. So it's there's so many things, but nobody's actually has the right answer. So the research started from this idea of what is this relationship? Why is because if the head is on top, does it mean it's the one who's in charge of most almost everything, or is it not? For Stephen Hawking, for example, the gut feeling, this is your second brain. So there are so many things inside that relationship that is so mysterious and so wonderful to look into.
And that, of course, kind of, even with discussing that inherent conflict, you know, who's in power between the brain and the body, you know, I'm somewhat familiar with Ken Robinson, and specifically that he likes to talk about how there is this kind of weird hierarchy, so societal hierarchy of needs, you know, between how we consider art and, say, the more harder sciences in what we consider as core values of education, math and so on, right? And so if we're leading into that with that specific kind of stratification between, you know, mind and body, who's to say where the rest of the societal demands also fall into who's in control, who's pulling those strings? You know, is it the demand of work, school, the needs of your community?
Yes, exactly. I think it's all these important questions about the social construct. So how are we socially constructed? And then how is, for one society, there are certain priorities and that they are different from another society, and how these codes, these social codes, are differently read and lived. So basically, for me personally, because I started this research when I was in Syria and I continued the research when I was here, so it does feel like, oh, I don't know this place. I just got here. How can I start this research then? And I'm like, okay, so what do I know? What I know is my body. This is the only thing that I know. And from my body, I drew into these memories of certain events and certain things that happened in my personal history that relate to that whole relationship and that whole relationship about who's in charge and the hierarchy, not only within my own body, but within this body and the society I was in. So this is how kind of the small circles of these research came a bit wider to kind of include, so how are we constructed then? What happens? How are we affected by these things?
And that kind of leads us into a term that, you know, I'm somewhat familiar with the term ethnography, but autoethnography is particularly fascinating. And I'm wondering how, if you could talk to us about how, you know, this kind of autoethnography, this kind of introspection, and then, you know, looking at things externally, you know, you're creating this interesting social contrast between your body's memory, your social memory, and this new culture that you're, you know, this new space that you're in, right? How did you manage to construct this into a movement piece specifically?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, to start with autoethnobiography, I think this was, I actually understood that it was that after some time during the process, and it was after some time of being of talking to other people and showing other people my work, especially my rehearsal director, who's Neil Sikowski, and then through our conversations, we're like, oh my God, this is like, you're basically just, you're talking about your history. And so a reflection onto that personal history, this is how it was framed. Like, this is how we framed it. This is a reflection into a personal history, a certain moments of history that I found to be important to talk about. Or it was a turning point in my understanding as a young girl or as a young artist or as an adult. So basically what we did is we created, we tried to create small, parts. So it's the piece is constructed of six or five parts, and each section or each part talks about a certain time period. So there's like the period when I was a bit more a young girl, and then more of a teenager, and then a bit of adult. So in each of these times, what I thought was important, what was like an event that was a turning point in these time parts, let's say. And then within the conversations and the constructions that I did with the composer, who's also a Syrian composer, whose name is Shadi, and was living in Stockholm, and we worked through Zoom because it was COVID. And so through our conversations, we realized, oh my God, like we have so many things in common. And so we thought, oh, these things are really important. These gestures are really important. These thoughts are really important. And this is how kind of we try to build the arc for the whole thing. And it's all done by basically the first thing that we do, we talk about an idea. He improvised music and I improvised movement.
That's such a beautiful sentiment. Or thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Thank you so much for having me.
Such a wonderful show. I am really looking forward to the audience sitting through and just sharing your story, as well as hopefully myself. If the audience would like to join us, or if the listeners would like to join us in the audience, feel free to check out the show online at Billetterie at agoradance.com, or feel free to call them at 514-525-1500. Cheers.
Thank you so much, Sandra. That was really thoughtful. Hora is a very, very good communicator about her work, and that was really fascinating.
It's absolutely fantastic to really get into the nitty-gritty about a lot of artists' just processes and ideas. I am so happy to be in this position to just kind of dive in.
Well, that's what we do here on Upstage. I'll have more of it next Thursday as well. If it works for you, join us Thursday 6 to 7 here on CKUT. You've been listening to today's show from May the 9th. A very big thank you to all of our guests so far, including Hoor Malas, who you just heard, Diane Marie Bridge, who is very busy getting ready for the Vision Gala this Saturday night at the Centre Fay, blacktheaterworkshop.ca for more information. Playwright Denise Bashar, who is getting ready to check out the last few shows of her last few presentations of her show Wine and Halva over at L'Espace La Risée. And also, of course, wow, this was a huge honor, the comedian Elvira Kurt playing the role of Bernadette at the Siegel Center's POTUS. It is the season closing show, siegelcenter.org. Join me on Sunday, free coffee, free pastries, Rugelach specifically. This Mother's Day, we're going to talk about women in positions of power. That goes from 11 to noon, and then the first pre preview is at 1:30 in the afternoon. Opening is a week from tonight. Get your tickets, SiegelCenter.org, until June the 2nd. So thank you to those guests. You can hear past episodes of Upstage, including this one, very shortly at CKUT.ca under the archives. Follow us at Upstage CKUT. Images from all the shows that we spoke about tonight are up there now. Thanks to Jack Solar, spoken word coordinator, for making sure the show gets to air. Thank you, Xander, for that wonderful interview. I'm your host, Sarah Day. We'll speak with you next week on Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM and CKUT.ca. Have fun and stay safe. Up next is Gray Matters with my good friend, Fortner Anderson.
The OFF-TA is a festival dedicated to emerging experimental creation in live arts. Created on the periphery of the Festival Transamérique FTA, the OFF-TA showcases creators whose unique and engaged approaches lay the grounds for new artistic currents. The OFF-TA aims to decategorize contemporary artistic practices and their respective audiences. It presents and produces events that both challenge established norms and question modes of representation, fostering cooperation and coming together. 10 days of festivities where you can discover 13 artistic projects and a wide range of inspiring and festive activities. Presenting emerging creations in live art, this edition unfolds throughout Montreal, investing in both public spaces and the city's stages. Always at the forefront of audacity, OFF-TA will allow the public to discover works in their process, the laboratories, as well as fully developed projects, the shows. OFF-TA 2024, May 24th until June 2nd. Visit offta.com for more details.
CKUT 90.3 FM is proud to present the Project XT Trio, featuring Kevane Wayne Space, better known as R.P. Boo, the legendary pioneer of Chicago footwork, DJing, Seymour Wright on saxophone, Paul Abbott on drums. Taking place Sunday, May 19th, 5 p.m., the 40th Festival International de Musique Actuelle de Victoria. For tickets and more details, visit fimav.qc.ca.
Good evening, and welcome to the May 9th edition of Gray Matters. Tonight